God bless you. We love your pastors. Aren't they precious? Wow. Steve and I have been in ministry for over 50 years now. We've been married that long as well. I want to tell you there is nothing that is better than that. Serving the Lord together as a couple. So any of you couples that are not sure about it, go before God and he will set you straight. Oh, okay, honey.
Yeah. I'll take it. Yeah. Oh, you don't turn that off. Thanks. It is a real treat and privilege to be with you guys today. I love what God's doing here, and there's such a sense of expectancy, and the prophetic flow during worship is just, oh, extraordinary. I really feel like this time of prayer and fasting you've done is really opening heaven over you as a body of people, and I think you're getting ready to see some extraordinary things in this next season. I don't know who shared about the sense of excitement they're feeling. I don't think we've ever been this excited about what's happening in the body of Christ. And yet at the same time, we seem to be more divided than we've ever been in our nation, in the church. And you know, just listen to the prophets the last few weeks, and there's so much division in what we are hearing or not hearing. And if we're not careful, that becomes the grid that we look through. But there is another grid, and that grid is the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is actually making strides in the most incredible way. One of the churches we work with in Brazil, it's a large Southern Baptist church, has recorded 9,000 salvations in 2020. 9,000 salvations. And they didn't meet at all during most of that time. Those all happened through the online ministry. 9,000 salvations recorded. Just one church. Can we understand that God's bigger than these limits that we put on? I think probably this last year, 2020, has been one of the steepest learning curves for Sally and I. Trying to shift our brains to trusting to speak online and interact on Zoom and that kind of thing. It's been, oh my goodness, it's been a real learning experience. But we have watched God just do some crazy things. A couple of weeks ago, we had a Saturday, I believe it was a Saturday morning, and we met with church planting teams in Australia, South Africa, and France. And then we did a marriage counseling in Switzerland all before lunch. And you just, who would ever have thought that this season is actually exploding the connections around the body of Christ? The nation of France is experiencing an incredible movement of the Holy Spirit. Who would ever have expected it in the nation of France? We just did a Zoom conference just 2 weeks ago now. And we had 150 French pastors just so hungry for the Holy Spirit to move and to work through them. That's the moment that we live in, guys. And we need to be aware that despite, no matter what the devil does, God always turns what he's doing and fulfills his purpose. And it may not always look like I want it to look. I may not get the political leaders I would like in place. It may not look like I want it to look, but the kingdom always advances no matter what the world systems are doing. And somehow we get it in our mind that the world system has to be right before God can do what he wants to do. Oh, no, 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 no. He's so far above world systems. And I'm looking for a year as we walk in this year, I believe of the most extraordinary rising up of the body of Christ in faith to believe God to work. I think we're just walking into an incredible year. The word I want to share with you this morning is it's really about the double portion. I put the title on it today, Double for Your Trouble. But I think that one actually works this year really, really well. But I want to, as I was praying about 2021 and say, God, what are you saying about this year? I knew there were specific instructions that God was giving Sally and I in the way we're to spend our time. And, you know, I think in 2019, we flew around the world 5.5 times. That was our air miles distance in 1 year. And then last year, almost everything cancels. I mean, we got a few miles at the beginning of the year, but most of the year. And this year again, all of our overseas, right now, all the way up through at least October has canceled. And so, God, what do you do in a year when everything you plan isn't happening? How do you adjust to be obedient to the Spirit in circumstances that aren't what we expected? And as I was praying about that, I just heard a phrase that I didn't understand. I understood the words, but I didn't understand what was behind it. And the phrase I kept hearing was, in 2021, the church of the firstborn is going to arise. In 2021, the church of the firstborn is going to arise. Now, I heard it. I kind of thought I understood what he was saying. But it just really pushed me into, God, we need a body of Christ that lives in the double portion anointing, that lives in that anointing in this season, that's able to carry the power of God, the presence of God, that's able to walk into situations where there's crazy conflict and just bring his peace into that circumstance. I believe the intercessor that was talking, I believe for our nation, my primary intercession at this moment is actually that the church would come back together again. Because we've gotten so fractured in the body of Christ. It's deeply concerning to my spirit, because the strategy of the enemy is always to divide and conquer. And if he can divide us through the craziness, then we begin to behave crazy. So let's dig into Scripture for a few minutes and just look at this idea of double portion. I want to start in the book of Isaiah, one of the prophecies of Christ. Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 7 says, instead of their shame, my people will receive a double portion, and instead of disgrace, they will rejoice in their inheritance. I just think of the context for a minute. The nation of Israel is in captivity. They're under persecution. They're not believing the promises are going to be fulfilled anymore. It's looking difficult. It's looking tragic. It's looking impossible. It's looking hopeless. And into that, the word of the Lord comes and says, I'm going to release a double portion. And I believe that that's in part where we are now, and we've been grafted into these same promises. This is an Isaiah 61 promise of what Christ would do, specifically for the nation, but also for his people that are adopted into his family, and we are those. I believe that we've experienced over this last few years some of the foundation for this. We've understood that instead of our shame, he's establishing us in his righteousness, so that I'm not identified by my history or by my failures or by anything in my past. I'm identified by the fact that I have received his righteousness as a gift, and I stand in that gift. That's my secure identity. Nothing in the world changes that identity. That identity is scaring him. So our shame has been broken in the gift of his righteousness. He's given us the double portion. He's removed the confusion. And that word, disgrace, talks about confusion. Have you ever been in a time when the body of Christ is more confused than right now? I mean, you literally can't find truth. I don't care where you go right now. It's just everybody lies. And you're just thinking, where is truth? you know, we it's the truth that sets us free, but if everything is lies, we find ourselves in this incredible confusion. But our confusion's broken because we've been adopted into His family, given His name, and we now have a new identity that's not tied to the world system identity. It's tied into the kingdom. We belong to a king. We belong to a kingdom. That's our identity. And if we live from that identity, we suddenly begin to see the explosive growth that's happening in the body of Christ around the world. Just before COVID broke, we were seeing the greatest numbers of churches planted and conversions of any time in human history. I think COVID was a strategy of the enemy. I don't care where it started. Who started it, who did it, is irrelevant. But what is relevant is it's deliberately set to slow down the awakening. But guess what? Everything the enemy has done is turned for the greater progress of the gospel. And we're actually seeing the acceleration of the awakening in many of these places around the world. And I believe that we're right now in a moment where we're going to see the greatest move of the Spirit in this nation that we've ever experienced. Sally and I just preached a conference in South Dakota. The other speaker at the conference was a young man. His name has gone right out of my head. It'll come back as while I'm talking. But he was one of the pastors that even today is preaching at the George Floyd Memorial. And he was just giving testimonies and showing us videos of literally hundreds of people being saved, reconciliations between races. There's a cattle trough out there in the middle of that memorial as a baptismal tank, and people are going down into the tank stoned and coming out stone cold sober. There are things happening that are absolutely extraordinary. You'll never hear it on the news, but it's happening right now in our nation. Right now in our nation. And we've got to be able to, we've got to get our minds past the limitations and into the things that God is doing. Instead of your shame, my people receive a double portion. Turn to your neighbor and say, you've got a double portion. You got a double portion. You got a double portion. Start believing it. One of the other scriptures that's one of the double portion scriptures is another story we're familiar with in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 5. We read the story of Hannah, who was the mother of Samuel. It says, but to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her. Now, if you remember the story, Hannah couldn't have children. And so in her nation, in her culture, she is both a shame and a disgrace because she can't bear a child. And so the husband comes along and does what husbands often want to do. They gave her a double portion of stuff to try to fix a spiritual issue. I know no husbands have ever done that here. More stuff doesn't fix the issue we're in. And right now we're in a time, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on this story. I could spend quite a long time on it. But there's something in our minds that the double portion is more stuff. It's not more stuff. It's more of something that we've been born into. It's more of something that comes only from the kingdom of God. Now, a double portion may produce more stuff, but more stuff isn't what the double portion is about. It's not just about getting more. It's not just about having more. It's something much more profound than that. I just want to jump a scripture because I want to save time here. But the issue we face when we're trying to fill or meet the need of stuff is that we really, much of the Church of Jesus Christ still behaves like spiritual orphans. We behave like we don't have a Heavenly Father. We behave like we're hoping to be accepted instead of living in the abundance that is in who He is. I just want to take us to a verse we read this, and he predestined and lovingly planned for us to be adopted to himself as his own children through Jesus Christ. I put the Amplified up there because I particularly like the way that they use the word lovingly planned. A lot of the translations will use according to his purpose or according to the pleasure of his will. I don't know what translation you're reading, but there's several different ways that verse is translated. But the reason I like loving there is that the word that's actually used in the Greek has two primary meanings. It's the meaning of delight and desire. It's the meaning of delight and desire. It's God's delight to adopt us into his family. It's his desire to adopt us into his family. And out of that is where the Amplified gets this idea of loving. Why is that important in this context? It's important because in Roman times, in the Greek culture, an adoption was never nurture. It was always expedience. So you would adopt somebody because you didn't have an heir, and you just pulled somebody in and gave them the position. So adoption is just a legal term about the rights of an heir to operate in a family. But we are lovingly adopted into the family. That there's a nurture and a commission. They're both are part of who we are. I was talking to a lady just several weeks back, and she was talking about her fact of her adoption, and she made a phrase that just it's messed me up ever since I heard it. But she made this statement. She said, I have almost no memories of that period of my life. She was about 5 years old, I think, somewhere in that region. She was very, very young. Don't have a lot of memories that time. But she said, I have one absolute resounding memory. I remember feeling chosen. I remember that feeling of being chosen. Out of all those kids that could have been adopted, I was chosen. That's the loving... That's the nurture. That's this part of the incredible place that we come into, is that he desired. He has chosen you. He's lovingly chosen you. He's lovingly chosen you. It's not just a mechanical operation. It's actually a loving choosing and ushering into his family so that we belong in him. There's a love affair that we have with the Lord Jesus because of that. And when it becomes that, it takes the mechanicalness of belonging to the kingdom out, and it replaces us with this incredible passion to be obedient to him, the passion to obey quickly. I love that word you brought. The passion to do what he's asking us to do. So two things happen in this. Our adoption is both nurture, but it's also got a commission in it. Both pieces are present in this idea of adoption. So we're adopted in the family for nurture and commission. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of adoption, confirms our identity, but he also empowers us for ministry. Both those things are present. Both those things are active in what we're doing. Now let's go back to the kind of root of double portion and look at it. In Deuteronomy 21, we read verse 17, but he shall acknowledge the firstborn, giving him a double portion of all that he has, for he is the firstfruits of his strength. So in the law, the oldest son, the firstborn, was given double of all the other sons. Now, that wasn't arbitrary. The firstborn was given double portion because the firstborn would take the responsibility of caring for the father's household. He'd take a responsibility for preserving the father's inheritance so that it would go past him to the next generation. So that the purpose of the firstborn inheritance, the purpose of the double portion, was not to get one person specially blessed, but it was the equipping necessary to do the call that was on that person's life. So if we're going to rise up as a church of the firstborn, we're going to be a church that takes on the double portion anointing, that stepped into a place of responsibility of extending our Father's kingdom, of seeing His purpose fulfilled, of touching the nations, of touching people, of touching everyone around us, of releasing peace into this environment. What would it be like if everyone in Cross Creek Church began to carry the peace of God in a profound way, so much so that every business you walked into was changed because you were there? Just there. Because you carry a double portion, both nurture and commission. Both nurture and commission. Both nurture and commission. Too often in church, we're teaching the nurture without teaching the commission. We're teaching the saving out from instead of the saving into. And the church of the firstborn arising is a church which begins to believe that we have a commission and a responsibility to carry His life and His purpose to the world around us. Sally was talking about our relationship, and we actually got set up on a joke. I had met Sally. We'd been at one meeting together in somebody's house, so we actually knew each other's name, but that's about all we knew. And I'm walking down the hall of this big church with the youth pastor, and he sticks his head in the office where Sally is, the library where Sally is working with her aunt, and says, "There's somebody out here too embarrassed to invite you to the Sweetheart Banquet next Saturday." And that's the first either of us had heard about it. We were both kind of, And in the end, we kind of stuttered yes, and Sally wrote me a really nice note the next day and said, "You know, you really don't have to do this." And I said, "Well, let's do it, it's okay." So we showed up at the Sweetheart Banquet and sat down across the table from each other, and I said, "So, are you called to the mission field?" It seems like a good first line for a first date. I don't know how I knew, but I knew there was no point going anywhere with somebody if they weren't already called. She said, "Well, why do you want to know?" So I just really want to know. She said, "Well, if you must know." She doesn't think she said it like that. I heard it like that. She said, "If you must know, I've just gone down part-time on my work. I've gone back to finish my elementary ed, and I'm going to either China or Africa." That was in February, and we were married in August. Why? Yes, I mean, there's nurture, but there's also mission. And if we don't live in the commission as much as we live in the nurture will quickly run out and feel stale. That's right. But if we'll live in both the nurture and the commission, I mean, I have a lot of heroes in my life. One of them's in this room right now. Bethany is one of my heroes. The way Bethany worships, the way she invites the presence of the Holy Spirit, the way she carries peace, the receptivity she has to just the Holy Spirit, she's never let her challenge get her down. I just, every time around her, I just feel so ridiculously encouraged, because she's a special one to me. Love you, girl. prayed a lot for that girl. And we'll keep praying for that girl. So you're firstborn heir. You've got the responsibility of firstborn. Scripture says this, the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we're children of God. But now if we're children, then heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings in order that we may share also in His glory. So in Colossians, Jesus is called the firstborn of all creation. So if I'm a co-heir with Christ and Christ is the firstborn, guess what we are? Turn to your neighbor and say, you're firstborn. You're firstborn. If I'm a co-heir with Christ, I'm literally a firstborn heir. I have that position. So some of us are wanting, are praying for a double portion, not realizing that it's already ours. Now, I believe there are anointings of the Spirit. We're going to get to anointing of the Spirit in a minute. But as a fact of your salvation and adoption into the family of God, you have been set up as a firstborn heir with a double portion inheritance. It's already yours. But this is one of those disturbing verses that has a condition to it. And the condition is behavioral. If indeed we share in His sufferings, that we all may, also may share in His glory. What does it mean to share in His sufferings right now, this moment, in this nation, in this city? What does that mean? I kind of laugh. In Springfield, we're under this mask mandate. It's so good to be in Lebanon. We're so good to be in Lebanon. Just, when I walked up and saw people without masks, I went, oh, thank you, Jesus. Masks are not persecution. I'm sorry, you've not lived anywhere in the world if you think a mask is persecution. I'm sorry, it's just not. Could be. It's not persecution. Persecution in our context, suffering in our context, is guarding our heart so that we only speak with love and grace. We are in a society right now. We are in a political climate right now. We are in a situation where it is so easy to pick a side and try to whatever with that side. I'm very concerned for the body of Christ that we can become so political in the way we think that we then treat people who don't agree with us with disdain. And that's not fellowshipping with the sufferings of Christ. God's calling on a people right now who will live in His power, who will live in His love, who will live in His grace, so that no matter what the political persuasion of the person around us is, the response from us is that they're touched by the love of Christ. Because only that has the power to change their mind. I think you figured out by now, no argument's going to win this. No persuasion is going to win this. But when the love of Christ controls us, and part of the suffering right now is literally putting aside our political preferences. I do have a preference. Okay? That's not what I'm saying. But it's putting those aside for the sake of the kingdom. So that the kingdom begins to invade and win in our society. Now, do I think we're walking into some difficult couple, 3 years? Probably. I think we're going to face challenges we've never faced as a body of Christ before. I think our Christian schools are going to face challenges. I do believe we're coming up against some literal challenges. But that's, we're not waiting for persecution to behave like Jesus. We've got to begin now as firstborn sons and daughters of the King that we carry both the nurture element but also the commission element. We've been nurtured into this place of adoption, and now we need to operate out of a commission where we see the world around us transformed. That's what's going to change society. I know this young man won't mind me sharing his testimony, but several years ago, I was down at the front of our church and just getting ready for service, and I just felt a very strong inclination to look toward the door at the back of our building. And I turned and looked at the door, and I saw a young man come through, and I heard a very clear, "Go hug him now." So I just made a beeline to the back, wrapped my arms around this young man and thanked him for coming and so glad you're here. And just, I turned around, went back to front, and that's the last I heard for 3 years. Somebody walks into our regional team meeting and says, "Would you mind if I gave a testimony?" I didn't know who it was, but we said, okay. Anyway, this young man gets up and shares his testimony. He says, 3 years ago, I came to this church. My live-in young man and I felt like we wanted to go to church today. So the two guys sat out in the car and decided which one was going to go in. And they decided that this one was going to be the one to go try and see if what would feel like to go into church. And so this young man walks into church, and all he encounters is a pastor heading to the back and giving a big hug and welcoming him. He turns around to leave to actually go get his friend out of the car, and one of the ladies in the church grabbed his hands, looked him in the eye, and said, "You know, you are absolutely called by God to an incredible calling. He's saying now's the time for you to come into your calling." The young man had already started the surgery to convert. He had already started on estrogen and was making the transition to be fully female. Got to the car and invited his friend in. They came in and sat through the service. On the way home, they both decided they shouldn't be living together anymore. He went through a self-deliverance process for the next 6 months, came off all the drugs and everything else, ended up in Kansas City as part of the prayer network there, and actually led one of their sessions in Kansas City. Now leads a ministry bringing gays and lesbians out of that lifestyle. One hug. One hug. Now, I would have had lots of opinion about what he needed. Are y'all with me? I would have had lots of opinion about what needed to happen, but just one hug, one word, and it was broken. He actually now leads our prayer ministry at Dayspring. That's what we're living in right now. Right now, right now, right now, right now. That's what firstborn kids do. They carry the presence with such clarity that no matter what the persuasion or what, no matter what the disillusionment or no matter what the deception walks in the door, that deception encounters a love that penetrates and goes through and around all those belief structures and draws them into a relationship with the Lord Jesus. That's what you have as a double portion, firstborn son and daughter of the King. That's what you carry. That's what you carry. That's what you carry. It's who you are. it's time for us to step out of the shadows of not really sure how we're supposed to be. You'll never be received properly. I mean, Jesus said, who do you think you are? You know, if they persecute me, they're going to persecute you. Too much of the church is trying to be acceptable to the world instead of being who we are called to be. So we're not seeing the breakthrough. We're not seeing the healings. We're not seeing the salvations. We're not seeing the transformations because we're trying to be like the world so they can come and accept us and be part of our church. No. The church of the firstborn is arising. Church that carries the power and presence of God in such an incredible way that no matter who comes in, no matter what political persuasion they are, no matter what history they are, no matter how messed up they are, they're encountering something that they can't explain. And it's that that will transform our nation. It's that that will change society. It's that that's happening right now at the George Floyd Memorial. Horrible incident, horrible what happened to George Floyd. But what's happening in that place has become a sanctuary for the presence and power of God to change lives. What the enemy meant for evil has been turned for the greater progress of the gospel on that ground. And we're going to see that duplicated in place after place after place after place across this nation. The church of the firstborn is arising. A church that understands they carry a double portion, but the reason we carry it is for the purpose of blessing somebody else. See, the firstborn son didn't get that inheritance so that he could spend it. He got that inheritance so he could share it with others. Selfishness will always pull you out of the firstborn. It will always pull you out of the double portion. Because the purpose of the firstborn inheritance, the purpose of the double portion, is to give it away to other people. That's why you have it. He was given a double portion because now he had a responsibility of caring for others, of pouring life into others, of ministering to others. When we get away from the selfish need part of Christianity and begin to get into the double portion, we suddenly, you can't give it away fast enough. You can't pour out fast enough because we begin to understand that the more you give, the more he just pours back in. He's that kind of father. It's not about more stuff. It's about the release to others and in the hands of others. Just go over to a New Testament scripture for a minute. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. What's the purpose of the inheritance? It's to have everything we need to give it away. Everything we need to pour into others. Everything we need, the resources, the anointing, the wisdom, the ministry. Everything you need is available to you in the double portion. Everything you need to fulfill your purpose in God. I believe that in this year, the church is going to shake off a profound selfishness. Because selfishness always stops us short of the blessing. You know, Elisha to the widow? Or Elijah? Elisha. Elisha? I think, yeah. Suddenly, I couldn't remember which one it was. The widow is down to her last bit of oil and her last bit of cake, and the prophet comes and says, give it to me first. Her act of unselfishness releases the double portion into her household, that now for the rest of the famine she has more than enough to eat. How do you respond in those difficult times, those difficult circumstances? How do you walk through those things that you don't like? 2019 was the most difficult year Sally and I lived through in our entire lives. We've never lived through a year more difficult than that. But out of that year, we have walked into some of the most incredible provision, release, anointing, breakthrough. And I often look back at that year and think, oh God, I would never want to live that year again. But if you live that time right, if you live through it with the right heart and the right attitude, something happens absolutely extraordinary. Just want to put another little example of that up here. Look at this little verse from Job. Is that the next one there? Yeah. Isn't this an annoying verse? Do you have verses that annoy you in Scripture? This is one of those. And the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends, and the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Have you ever read that verse? I mean, let me ask you a question. You all know the story of Job. Did Job's friends deserve prayer? They deserved anything but prayer. I mean, they were critical. They were judgmental. They were trying to... Just think a minute. Job is in the middle of the worst suffering of his life. And he hears the whisper of the Holy Spirit. Pray for your friends. And the first thought is going to be to rebuke the voice of the devil. Because you're sure that can't be God. But the moment, Job got out of his own pain and anguish and hurt and loss, out all of that stuff that he's been through, the moment he got lifted up out of that and turned his attention off himself and began to pray for his friends, in that moment, everything's restored. Church of the firstborn, that's the year we're coming into. Been through some stuff. Some of you have been through some financial pressure. Some of you have been through some challenges relationally. I've never personally, we've pastored for 50 years, I've never ever seen the church this divided. Pastoring in this season is one of the most difficult challenges I think we've ever faced, because you feel like your two friends are on different train tracks going opposite directions and you're trying to hold it together. But in one moment, I believe the body of Christ is going to begin to pray for our friends. Begin to pray for those that we don't like very much. I mean, what if the body of Christ's primary intercession in this season was Ben Biden? That was the prayer at the Welsh Revival. Bend us, Lord, and save the world. What if our prayer was for Pelosi? Church, I don't think there's much of the church praying for Pelosi. Most of the church has got a disdain for this person that God created. If we're not careful, we despise instead of releasing our firstborn inheritance. Now, I have profound disagreement with their political stances. I have disagreement with just about everything they do. But somehow we have to get beyond our Job and pray for those people that are saying that stuff that we don't like. And in that act of praying for the people who have that stuff we don't like, we actually start seeing the double portion begin to flow in a whole new way. How many of you want the double portion? There's a few hesitant hands there. I was, when I started studying, I was thinking, oh, Lord Jesus, are you sure? He's sure. So then we come to the one that we're most familiar with, and check my time here. Elijah offers Elisha a gift. Incredible gift. He said, what can I do for you before I'm taken up? What can I give you? What can I do for you? I actually believe that this is a question the Holy Spirit is asking the body of Christ right now. I think we're positioned in a place where if we respond correctly to the question like Elisha did, I think we're walking into the greatest anointing we've ever experienced. Elisha's response is, please let me have a double portion of your spirit on me. Fascinating statement, because when Elijah called Elisha, he took his mantle off and put it on Elisha. So Elisha is already the firstborn son. He already has the firstborn inheritance. He already has that nurture and commission. It in that mantle on him, he already has that. So what's Elisha asking for? He's asking for more of the Spirit, so that the call that's on me, the commission that's on me, I need more than I have right now. I need more than I even see on you. I need more. There's got to be a holy dissatisfaction in us that says, God, we need more than we have right now. We can't be content with the level of the Spirit we walk in. We cannot be content with the anointing that we walk in, because there's always more. There are multiple encounters with the Spirit. There's always more. There's always more. Sometimes that more is connected to the obedience, just that quick obedience. Remember early in Sal and my ministry, God gave us a little phrase. He said, listen carefully, hear clearly, obey quickly. We live our lives off those three principles. Listen carefully, obey, hear clearly, obey quickly. That's how we're to live our life as believers, is that we're not to spend months deciding whether we're going to do this or not. Do it! Most of the time we miss the opportunity to share because we're trying to decide if we should or not. Y'all know what I'm talking about. So Elisha's come and said, I want a double portion of that. We don't have time to look a lot into Elisha. That could be another whole talk as well. But just look at a couple things there. Elisha's working when Elijah called him. You know, the starting place for the double portion is to be doing what you're supposed to be doing. If you're passively waiting for God to do something before you start doing it, you probably will never do it. But if you're doing what's in your hand to do, then he can anoint you for more. I love the way, and I don't know culturally exactly how that felt to Elisha's household. I mean, the first thing he did is he burned his plow and sacrificed the oxen. And I mean, he got rid of all possibilities of going back. And then he follows Elijah, and the instruction was at the end, I'll give you the double portion if you keep your eyes on me. So what's the first thing Elijah does? Well, you stay here, I'm going to go on. Gives Elisha the opportunity to get offended because his mentor doesn't seem to be taking this seriously. And then they get to the event, and I don't know what You know, if I was preaching and suddenly a chariot of fire shows up, are you going to look at me or the chariot? But the instruction was, keep your eyes on me. Man, that's hard to do. In the middle of craziness going on, in the middle of all the stuff around us, and our eyes are going, oh, we're looking at this and that, and the internet's got all this stuff to say, and where our eyes are everywhere, completely lost focus on Him, who He is. Sally and I have not turned the news on in our home since March last year. Just, it's too distracting. y'all, if anybody read Smith Wigglesworth's biography, I love Smith Wigglesworth. He had, somebody showed his house, I think it was Lester Summerall showed up at his house and had a newspaper under his arm. That was Lester. Had a newspaper under his arm and knocks on the door. Wigglesworth opens the door, say, you can come in, but you got to leave that trash outside. He said, I will not let those lies be in my house. Listen, that was Wigglesworth's day. The news media was lying then. Why are we surprised that it's still doing the same? It's probably worse now. But you know, we've gotta break free from those things that so distract us, because the double portion is about being fixated on what Jesus is doing in the earth today. Finding it, pursuing it. I believe for Cross Creek Church, you're coming into the most fruitful year of ministry. I believe that you're going to see incredible numbers of salvations and healings and deliverances this year. I believe that the faithfulness of this last season is actually going to produce incredible fruit. What we felt during worship here, what we sensed in the Spirit, is just, you're poised for an incredible increase and release right now. To do that, we need a double portion of the Spirit. To do that, we need a greater anointing. We have seen more in the last few years than we've seen in our entire lives. We can track the trajectory of the anointing in our life over 50 years of ministry. And we just keep seeing God do more and more and more and more and more. And it seems like every time we see Him do more, there's a dissatisfaction, because I know there's so much more still there. And we get excited, but you're also, oh God, there's got to be more. Three times in the last 8 years, Sally and I have seen 100% of the sick healed in a meeting. Three times in 8 years. I got excited the first time until I realized that's what Jesus did all the time. And you realize we're just pushing toward normal. We want to see more. This world desperately needs to see the power of God, because it's that power that bypasses the rational. If you look in Luke, and I don't have time to go to Luke right now, but in Luke chapter 5 and about verse 26, I believe, it's after the story of where the paralytic is healed. They laid him down through the roof, and it says the Pharisees, this house has been packed full of Pharisees and teachers of the law. And those Pharisees and teachers of the law are walking away. And they make this statement, we've seen remarkable things today. Well, if you look up the Greek of that little phrase, remarkable things, it actually means, literal meaning of the Greek word is, we were thrown out of our natural mind today. Literal meaning of the word. I need a bunch of people thrown out of their natural mind. I need a bunch of Democrats thrown out of their natural mind. I need a bunch of Republicans thrown out of their natural mind. We've got to get out of the natural realm thinking and into a spirit realm thinking. Literally what it means is the miracle bypassed the natural thought process so that the power of the Lord Jesus, the testimony of the Lord Jesus, bypassed their thought process and went straight into their heart, and they're walking away thinking, we're messed up today. I want the world in that place because the church of the firstborn is arising. We're going to do two things right now before we close out. At the end, I want to invite the Holy Spirit to come and just for a double portion of anointing the Spirit. Before we do that, if you have any pain in your body of any kind, I want you to stand up right now. Any pain of any kind. I want to extend that out to a couple people. Trying to see if once it, there's two that aren't necessarily pain. Insomniacs is one I had on my list for today. I was so glad you brought that insomnia. Most of these are pain related. Probably the only one that isn't is cataracts. If you have cataracts or the beginning of forming cataracts, would you just stand up right now? I want to add you into that group. Okay. 50. Perfect. If you're standing, put your hand up. This next exercise is not COVID approved, but we're doing it anyway. Keep your hand up. Everybody sitting down is the ministry team. If you're sitting down, I want you to go to the person. Be very careful with touch. Just only lay your hand gently on a shoulder, nothing else. I want to get somebody with everybody in here. Everybody, your hand up. I want somebody standing with them. I'm kind of going to wait. As somebody's with you, I'd like you to put your hand down. If somebody gets to you, that way I know somebody's with you. We may run out of people before. Run around out of people before we have. Okay. I need a little bit more help over in this area. You both need healing? Or are you praying for you both need healing? Okay, I want to grab you. Come. I want you to sit down right here. And Bethany's going to pray for you. Okay? All right, I need a couple more helpers. Have any more helpers? Okay. I need about four more people. Anybody else not doing? A couple ladies. I need another guy. Lady here. There we are. Okay. A couple more. Okay. We've run out of people. Okay, you got somebody. All right. See, you guys are doing really good here. I like it. Okay. This is what I want you to do. I don't want you to pray yet. I want you to take 30 seconds and ask the person you're standing with what the problem is, how long they've had it. Just find out what the issue is so that you know. As soon as you know, don't pray. Look back at me. Go for it. It may take you a minute. There's three or four of you together. I'm going to take you. What you need?
Jerry.
Okay. What's that?
Bad back.
Okay. Neck. Problem is? Okay, now, I want us to pray a firstborn prayer. A firstborn prayer is a prayer that comes out of your identity as a child of God. It's not a prayer asking God to do something. It's a prayer that comes from the identity that's in you. We were in India just a few years ago, and a
pastor came up at the end of the meeting. Both his wife and daughter had gone blind in their left eye. There was a bunch of stuff going on in that. What's that? Son, you're right, it was son. The wife and the son had both gone blind in their left eye. So I prayed for the lady a couple times. First prayer, she saw light. Second prayer, she saw color. Third prayer, she saw shape. I wanted to pray a fourth time, but she wouldn't let me pray. She wanted me to pray for the son. She was afraid healing was going to run out before it got to him. And so I said, listen, you just got an incredible healing. God just healed your eyes. Now, I want you to pray for your son. So she did. She prayed a really deep mother's prayer. Oh, God, please. He's a good boy. Please heal him. Please, God, heal him. He's such a good, please heal him. Guess what happened? Nothing. I said, that was a great mother's prayer. But I want you to pray out of your identity. I want you to command that blindness to go in Jesus' name. She grabbed the back of her son's head, stuck her finger in his eye, and she commanded the blindness to go, and instantly her son could see perfectly. It's that change that comes from our identity as firstborn that we begin to operate as co-heirs with the Lord Jesus. We begin to operate in a confidence that who he is, so are we in the world. As he is, so are we in the world. There's a call on our lives. In this hour, this nation desperately needs the firstborn church to arise. So right now, pray for your identity. Speak directly to the condition, whatever you heard. And just, I'll give you about 30 seconds to a minute to do it. Go. Father, I just speak right now to this body. Finish up your prayer, and then I want you to do what Jesus did when he prayed for the paralytic. He said, get up. I want you to ask the person you just prayed for to do something they couldn't do before. I love it. Check your body out. I believe there's several people already know there's profound change in your body. Several people are already experiencing healing around the room. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you can tell a significant difference after that prayer, wave a hand up so I can see what's happening around the room. Yes, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You're a good, good Father. You're a good, good Father. Now, if the person you just prayed for isn't at least 80% better, pray for them again. Another 30 seconds, go. Woo! Father, we thank you for your power. We release the power of your presence now in Jesus' name. We just rebuke the effects of trauma. Totally in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. After the second prayer, check out your body again. If you were one that had cataracts, cover your good eye up and check your eye out. I believe God's opened an eye. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Left my notes over here. It's terrible how dependent we are on these things. Okay. Everybody just, can we all stand? We're going to get some more testimonies in a minute, but I just want us right now to just invite the Holy Spirit to come. Perfect. That's perfect. Perfect. I just want to invite the Holy Spirit to come. Church, there's always more. We had a... I want to give you a Lebanon testimony. This is a Lebanon, not Lebanon, Missouri. We have a church in Lebanon going through an incredibly tough time. The explosions there, all that stuff happening. They had to shift completely to an online presence, which, you know, was most of us had to scramble to get that done. But this particular church, it's about 50 people. They did their first online service, worship in Arabic, a short word in Arabic. Got home and looked at the YouTube and realized there had been 5,000 views of their worship. The majority of those Muslim tuned in to Amen. Arabic worship, and they're changing the atmosphere in the most under the most unbelievable pressure. So just put your hands out like this and let's just begin to pray. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come in this room. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We welcome you. We welcome you. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Come and fill us. Come and anoint us. Come and equip us with a double portion so that we can do what you've called us to do. So, Holy Spirit, come. 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 Several years we just stand right now. We're just going to begin to feel a heaviness of the Holy Spirit on you. Just allow Him to touch you. We need more. I can't tell you how many encounters we've had. I think I've kind of lost track of them. But we always need you. We always need more.
I need you.
We always need more. So Holy Spirit, come.
I need you.
If you're just feeling a weight on your shoulders, would you just raise your hand and just see what's happening to the other side? Okay. If you're feeling your hands getting very hot, wave your hand so I can tell. I can see. Yes. Excellent. Father, you just release an anointing for healing, anointing for breakthrough, an anointing for more. Father, we just call that out now.
I need you,
Sam. So if the Father said, ask for anything, what would you ask for? Ask for more stuff? What would you ask for? Day that we need to ask for the anointing to do everything He's called us to do, for the boldness to step out of ourselves, for just that incredible release of the church of the firstborn, that we would become who we were called to be.
I need you.
you're in this room and you know that you're not in right relationship with the Lord Jesus, there's an incredibly loving Father that wants to adopt you into His family. He wants to adopt you into His family and commission you. If you're in this room and you're not sure of your relationship with Jesus, but you'd like it to go deeper, could you just raise your hand and wave it at me like this just so I can see you? Yes, there's several around the room. Father, we're just asking you right now that you would work in each of these hearts. Father, we just invite the Spirit of adoption to begin to move across this place. Father, draw us into that revelation of who you are, that revelation of our sonship, our daughtership. Lord, the things that you've done, draw us into that relationship. We just release right now your Holy Spirit to move in every heart and in every life, in every heart and every life. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. There are a couple of people who have been really bound by an addiction, and that's part of what keeps you from being able to just sense that. If that's you, I just want you to put your hand on your heart right now. I don't need to know who you are. Father, in Jesus' name, I just break addictions, anything that would bind us to something else. I break it now in Jesus' name. And I declare the freedom that comes from being a firstborn, the freedom that comes from walking in your anointing and your inheritance. And we release that now in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And Father, I just thank you for Bethany. I thank you for the testimony of who she is. Father, continue your work in this amazing life. Continue your work in this precious daughter of yours. Thank you, Jesus, for Bethany. Thank you, Jesus, for Bethany. We just release a fresh anointing on her.